Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. We are currently in the season of Lent. Our Lenten theme for this year is the prayers of Jesus. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon for today is What Shall I Say? The big idea is that Jesus responded to the crowd's hosannas by seeking only the approval of God.
During the season of Lent, we have looked together at the prayers of Jesus and what we might glean from the prayers of Jesus in terms of making our own faith journey to the cross and then the empty tomb. We continue to do so in this Holy Week. And so this morning, as you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll begin reading with the 27th verse, the Word of God for the people of God. Jesus says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Jesus said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. At some point, it's happened to all of us. We've been in a situation that caught us by surprise. Someone said something or did something. We were not expecting it. And as a result, we were left speechless. We didn't know what to say. It's not always an occasion that is a bad thing. Sometimes we see a beautiful sight, some panorama, some picturesque moment, and we are just in awe. Sometimes a friend comes in and surprises us, perhaps a relative. In this season of COVID, you've seen these reunion stories of people showing up to embrace family members that they haven't been able to embrace for a year. And there's just this great response. But you can tell that the people who are on the receiving end are taken aback and left for speechless. It's happened to you. And after the fact, you can think of a thousand things I wish I had said, but in that moment, it was such a surprising experience. Reality crashing in upon you in a way for which you were not prepared. It's almost as if, as the proverbial saying goes, the cat has gotten your tongue. Well, would it surprise you for me to say that Jesus had such experiences also? There were times in Jesus' life where reality came crashing in upon him in such a way that Jesus was for a moment left speechless. One of those experiences is before us this morning in this passage that I've read for you from John's Gospel. But it's not an experience that you might would have thought would have left Jesus speechless, like Palm Sunday Was that the time when Jesus was so amazed by what was happening around him that he could not find words to say in response? No, it wasn't. In fact, if you go back and you look at all of the gospel accounts of Palm Sunday, nothing about that Sunday took Jesus by surprise. If anything, Jesus orchestrated each event as a way of bringing to fulfillment God's prophetic promises. No, it wasn't. It wasn't this day where we have gathered that staggered Jesus and left him without response. Interestingly, it was when an audience of Greeks, Greek-speaking Jews in particular, who had journeyed from outside Judea, arriving in Jerusalem for the Passover, it was when these foreigners approached two of Jesus' disciples, Philip and Andrew, and requested to see Jesus. Sirs, they said to those disciples, we want to see Jesus. And the gospel tells us that when Andrew and Philip relayed the message to Jesus that there are some Greeks who are here, they want to see you. It was at that moment that Jesus answered in a way that reflects how he was in some fashion caught off guard. Now he says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? What shall I say? Clearly, what had happened in Jesus' heart was that reality came crashing in upon him that now that the world was being drawn to him, and what God had sent him to do, his hour had in fact come. No longer was the cross something that was out there in Jesus' future. It became crystal clear to Jesus that now was the time that he was to bear upon himself the sins of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now the world is being drawn to Jesus, and the weight of that responsibility came upon him in a fashion that for a brief moment caused him no small amount of distress. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? If that response from Jesus causes you concern, you must understand that it had been a difficult couple of days for Jesus. Look at what has transpired as Jesus has made his way from Galilee to Jerusalem. Lazarus, his good friend, had died. Yes, Jesus raised him to life, but as soon as he did so, the religious leaders began to turn upon Jesus, and they began to turn upon Jesus in such a way that for a season, Jesus felt it necessary to go into hiding with his disciples. At a point, Jesus deemed it safe to go out. Lazarus and his sisters throw Jesus this celebration dinner. It's a festive occasion. While they're enjoying one another's company, Mary comes in with this jar of expensive perfume, and she begins to anoint the feet of Jesus, which is a symbol of the anointing that must be done in preparation for his death. Jesus knows that. His disciples don't, and especially Judas, who begins to complain, "Lord, why? Why such a waste? We could have taken this perfume, we could have sold it and given the money to the poor." That's what good Jews did during the feast of Passover. They made contributions toward the relief for the poor. And Jesus could tell even that moment, this disciple is about to betray me. It weighed heavy upon his heart. And then, yes, on that Sunday, Jesus fulfilled prophecy by riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to the hosannas of the masses. Jesus knew even then, Jesus knew, can't trust this crowd. It's a fickle bunch, and they're cheering for me today. They will be cheering for my crucifixion in short time. All of this weighs heavily upon Jesus. Now, these Greeks show up wanting an audience with him. Jesus recognizes my hour has come. He confesses the distress that is in his soul. He doesn't know what to say. He wonders to himself, "Shall I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" And after a moment of speechlessness, Jesus chooses to pursue God's purpose even to the cross. No, for this very hour I have come into the world. Father, he prays, glorify your name. Accept what I am about to do. Use it in a way that will fulfill your redemptive purposes. Help others to see the majesty of your mercy and your grace. Use it to drive out the prince of this world and the powers of darkness. And may through my death people be drawn unto me so that they might have everlasting life. I look at this story and it reminds me that every time I get to a place in my faith journey where I think I am somewhere that Jesus cannot possibly understand, I must think again. Anytime I begin to think that my challenges are so great that somehow Jesus, as the Son of God, wouldn't have been able to appreciate those moments that at times can leave a preacher speechless, I see this story and I think again. Jesus does understand. He understands our challenges. He understands the distress that life can at times create. He understands the challenges that come our way. He understands the disappointments that you experience. He understands and sympathizes with those experiences that just leave you speechless. And not only does he understand, This is what's important. He shows us how to address them by trusting those situations and circumstances to God. Oh, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Shall I pray for God to deliver me from this hour? No, no. That's not what God sent me in this world to do. Here's what I'm going to pray. Father, glorify your name. Work in this situation in a way that helps people to see what a great, loving, merciful God you are. Jesus sympathizes with us in those harsh, challenging moments, and then he shows us how to move beyond them by trusting those moments to God. And what John tells us is that when we trust those moments that leave us staggered and speechless to God, God responds in ways that assure us that he will be working for our good. And Jesus prays, Father, glorify your name. And suddenly, John tells us he was there. A voice was heard from heaven. I have glorified it. It's God speaking to his son. I have glorified it. Of course, referring to all of those miraculous signs that Jesus performed, those seven signs that show us that Jesus is God's agent of salvation. I have glorified your name. And I will glorify it again. Speaking, of course, of Jesus' death and his resurrection. Meanwhile, the whole situation leaves the crowd speechless. They don't know what to make of it. Text tells us that some think it thundered. And at least let's give the crowd credit for recognizing that thunder, particularly in the Old Testament, is an occasion for revelation. Think Sinai in the book of Exodus, where Moses receives the commandments of God and there's great thunder, and the people understand that God is speaking to his servant. Others, let's give them credit, must be a voice of an angel speaking to him. The word angel, of course, means messenger, that somehow Jesus is receiving a message that is meant to sustain him. And as the crowd is trying to make sense of all that has taken place, Jesus speaks. Now, this voice was not for my benefit. This voice was for your benefit, for your good, so that you may understand that now the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, is about to be driven out. The prince of glory is to be lifted up. He is to be lifted up in such a way that he will draw all men unto himself. Jesus speaks in such a way to remind the people that in every circumstance and situation, in every circumstance and situation, God is always working for our good. I read this story. It reminds me of something that John Calvin said years, centuries ago, when in his Institutes, Calvin said, Christ saves us by the whole course of his obedience. Sometimes we think that Jesus' obedience is only seen through the cross, where he, though being in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Certainly, that is the defining example of Christ's obedience. But as Calvin reminds us, you look at the entire ministry of Jesus, and there was never a moment when Jesus was not in concert with God, even at a time when the rush of reality came upon him like a splash of cold water in the face, and Jesus knew that now the cross was about to come his way. The gospel train could not be stopped. And when Jesus faced the choice of jumping off or staying with it, he stayed with it. Stayed with it for good. Stayed with it for your good. He stayed with it for my good. What shall I say? Save me from this hour? No, this is why I came, Father. Glorify your name. As we begin this week we call holy, an invitation to walk with Jesus all the way to the cross, can you say that in your own life and in your own faith journey, you stand ready to trust everything to God just as Jesus did? Are you ready in those times when you are taken aback by reality and you're not sure what the future holds, instead of trying to control everything and make things work in ways that you think will be for your best, can you do as Jesus did and pray, Father, even in this moment, even in this moment, glorify your name. Show up in a way that works for glory and for good. Theologians have an expression for those moments that come at us for which we are not prepared, would never be prepared, and quite frankly, could never have prepared for them. They refer to them as liminal moments. Liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. It comes from the Latin for threshold. You know what a threshold is. It's an entrance into a doorway, but a threshold is an interesting place. It's an in-between place. You're moving from one circumstance to another. You're not quite there. That's how life is. My soul, think about these last 12 months. You want to talk about liminality. You want to talk about in-between places. We left normal over a year ago, and we're not yet to the next normal. We're in a liminal place. And yet, precisely in this place, we have seen over the past year God show up in ways that have reminded us of his grace and his glory. Certainly for Jesus, that last week was a liminal place from the Hosannas of Palm Sunday to the crucify him 5 days later. That's an in-between place. Or even his experience on the cross on Friday, that time between Calvary and the empty tomb Easter Sunday, that's a liminal place. But those are the very places where if we trust those situations to God, God will reveal himself in magnificent, glorious fashion. This may be an in-between place for you this morning. You may be in a spot where you don't know what's ahead of you and you're a bit anxious about it. Perhaps in recent days, the reality of what you have either anticipated or dreaded has now become crystal clear to you, and you're not sure how you're going to be able to handle it. Well, here's a suggestion. Let go and let God. The person who cannot let go cannot hold on in the in-between place. Let go and let God hold you in a way that will never let you go. And if on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, you do that, the promise of God is that he will take you to a better place, a more hopeful place, a resurrection place, a place of abundant, everlasting life, a place where in God's time, you will be able to lift your heart and lift your voice and say, and mean it when you say it, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our closing hymn this morning is number 188, Man of Sorrows. What a name. No need to let the cat have you, your tongue, even more importantly, there's no need to let the devil have your tongue, leave you speechless. Because in the cross of Christ, the prince of this world has been driven out. The prince of glory has been lifted up. Hallelujah, what a name. As we sing this hymn today, let go and let God. And then get ready for what God alone can do for you. As we stand now and sing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.